Today's scripture reading is from Joshua chapter 3, verse 1 to 6, and Acts chapter 16, verse 6 to 10. Please turn your Bible to Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. Early in the morning, Joshua and the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Thank you for reading today's scriptures for us. Well, it is my joy to be here. Thank you, Reverend Wong, for this invitation. And it's such a privilege for me to be back here at Brampton Chinese Baptist Church. And it's really special to be here during a month of mission. Your mission focus is so important. Although I have to admit, I'm torn. I'm often invited to speak in churches during a mission Sunday or a mission month, and I always kind of feel deep down, as do most church leaders, that every Sunday is a mission Sunday, isn't it? Every Sunday is. Every Sunday is about equipping us to worship the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our might, and then to equip us to walk out of this building as transformed people, able to transform the world. But all that to say, I am so happy to be here. Your church has such a long and rich history of partnership with your denomination, with the CBOQ, and also with CBM. And it's been my privilege to be here in this church on various occasions. One of the most memorable times I ever had here at your church was at the commissioning service of Reverend Conrad and Fiona Kwok, when they were commissioned to be sent out as your missionaries to go to northern Thailand and to serve there in China and in Burma. We also had a chance together to walk in partnership and in solidarity when our dear friend and my sister and colleague Manling Thompson passed away after her brief but intense struggle with cancer. Thank you for your support. For the people of God, thank you for your support for God's mission around the world, and thank you for what you are doing right here in this community. I want to say, just in like five quick sentences, a little word about CBM, because that's what they want me to say when my board sends me to speak in churches. And then I'll get to God's word. See if I can do this the right way. Let's see. I went the wrong way. Slowly, there we go. First of all, you are one of about 950 churches that carry the name Canadian Baptist somewhere in their identity. Across the country, north, south, east, west, about 950 churches. And about 150,000 members and adherents who make up those churches across our country that are part of this big family that we are. We are grouped together in four different regional conventions. And there's one global mission agency, which is the agency that I'm leading, called Canadian Baptist Ministries. And here's what we do. We are all about building the church up in word and deed. You've heard recently when Conrad and Fiona were home about how they are part of a movement that's committed to planting churches among unreached people in northern Myanmar. An exciting work that is happening in a very difficult to access area. But the gospel in that place is being shared and churches are being planted. And that's just one example of what God is doing all around the world through our partnerships as Canadian Baptists. It's just one example, but we're seeing it in many other places. We are also all about helping lift people out of poverty. There's so many different ways that we do that. And by the way, poverty isn't just economic. It doesn't just mean you don't have enough money. There's emotional poverty, there's mental poverty, there's social poverty. But we certainly are trying to help people live more meaningful lives, whether it's through food security programs, or public health programs, marketplace ministry, working with Christian people in the marketplace, social welfare programs, economic programs. Each year, we as Canadian Baptists help between 40 and 50,000 people around the world move out of situations of poverty and into positions or situations of wholeness. The third thing that we're all about is that we are all about caring for kids at risk. This particular story and picture reminds me of a recent trip that I made to China, where we were able to work with community leaders that are caring for children who are quote-unquote left behind. You may know the story of these children in rural and semi-rural areas whose parents have left them behind in those places to go and to find more meaningful employment, education, prosperity, wealth, affluence in large cities. These kids are left behind. These are kids at risk. And community leaders and churches are taking courageous steps in order to care for those kids. In one particular place in India, our partners said to us at CBM, help us build a hostel for young girls because they are walking down busy roads to get to school, 5 kilometers to get to school along a very, very busy road. And when we thought danger, risk, about girls walking along busy roads, we were thinking about car accidents. But they were thinking about the threat of predatory and abusive truck drivers who were stopping and violating those girls, attacking those girls, and raping those girls. And they asked us to help build a hostel next to the school. And so one of our churches in Newfoundland helped us to find the means to pay for that hostel. We are also about promoting peace building and reconciliation and justice, especially in an area of Africa, in kind of the middle of Africa, an area called the Great Lakes, which borders the Congo and Rwanda, Uganda, Burundi, and South Sudan, where inter-ethnic and tribal conflict has wreaked havoc and hundreds of thousands, millions of people are killed because of violence, inter-ethnic violence. Our CBM family and our partners are able to have a part in building a more peaceful and a more just society. So we're Canadian Baptist Ministries. We're here to help and serve the mission heart and the longing of our churches across Canada, helping all of our churches bear witness of God's love and His grace in building up the church. The theme of my message this morning is crossing over. And before I open God's word, I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads and pray with me. Lord, we need your understanding of your scripture today as we open your word. We want to hear your voice. Prepare us to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Brampton Chinese Baptist Church has partnered with CBM for many years, and you've helped us cross over into many places where we otherwise wouldn't have been. You are helping the Kwaks, as I mentioned, in northern Thailand. You're helping support the work among the Chinese diaspora in Europe. You are helping to fund theological education in the Middle East. You are helping us as God's people to cross over. But I want to alert you to another principle of crossing over that's in Scripture today. I don't think any of us here in this sanctuary doubt that we're living in a time of incredible change. Oh, see if I can get it to change. Maybe. Oh, I think the computer froze. Thanks, Mike. We'll see if we can get it to change. I don't think any of us are oblivious to the fact that we are living in a time of incredible change. Here in our society, whether it's because of technology or scientific discoveries or globalization. We're good? Okay, thank you. There we go. Climate change, social media, religious fanaticism. We can pretty readily accept the fact that we live in a world that is not at all like the world that our parents lived in. And it certainly isn't like the world that my grandchildren one day will live in. We've kind of crossed over an important threshold. And we experience that even in mission. When I speak about mission, I'm very mindful that the way mission is understood today is very different than what it was when I was younger. Traditionally, we understood Christian mission as crossing over geographical boundaries. It was the expansion of the church from one place to another place. Our own Canadian Baptist missionaries, our history, about 150-year-old history, was really for many, many decades about sending people from Canada over there, over to Latin America, over to India, over to Africa. The first missionaries, they crossed mountain ranges, they crossed oceans, they crossed deserts and sometimes jungles in order to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to other people. Many of them actually, as they traveled in ships to get to their destination, carried in the hull of the ship their own coffins because they knew that they would spend their life, that they would die on the mission field. They would never cross back home. But we know that things have really changed since that day. We know that we no longer live in that same world. Today, crossing over involves something very different. It's about not just crossing over geographic boundaries, but sometimes it's about crossing over ideologies and cultures and language. Sometimes it's about crossing over the street. You know, 52 years ago, I was thinking this as I drove here along Williams Parkway. 52 years ago, my mom and dad, and I was a little boy, my mom and dad moved away from Brampton. I lived in Brampton when I was a little boy. We lived in Peel Village. By the way, this was farmland out here. We lived in Peel Village, and everybody in Peel Village looked just like my mom and dad. We were all white Canadians, married families with three or four children and a car and a nice home and a school down the street, and everybody was trying to pay off their mortgage. Boy, Brampton looks different nowadays, doesn't it, than what it is. More than half of the people living in Brampton were born overseas. Most of Brampton is made up of people that don't look like me. The world has changed around us. As I visit my friends in Brampton, I notice people from South Asia. I notice Indians and Pakistani. I notice Filipinos and Syrian families that are living here. The world has come to your door. I'm going to ask you if you as a church are ready to cross over, if you are ready to take that big step. Now, there were two passages that our sister read for us. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about these passages. I do want to comment on them very quickly. The first one was from the Old Testament. It was that amazing story of Joshua. We knew the story, didn't we, from our childhood about the children of Israel in Egypt. They were kind of stuck in Egypt, and then they fled Egypt. God opened the door for them to leave Egypt, and they ended up wandering in the desert for 40 years. God was preparing them for something, and then they get to the edge of the River Jordan, and God says, wait. You just wait here for a couple more days. After 40 years of wandering in the desert. God brings them to the edge and says, it's now time to cross over, but just wait. The Hebrew word for crossing over is abar. It's the first time it's used in the Bible, in this passage right here in Joshua chapter 3. But then in the following three chapters, it's used something like 22 more times. Crossing over obviously is something so important for the children of Israel that they had to invent a new word to describe what was going to be happening. The Jordan River wasn't a wide river. It was not like the big Mississippi River. It was in the drier season, it was maybe 100 feet wide. You could easily throw a rock across the Jordan River at that time. Now, it was the rainy season. The river was gushing. It was wider. But for a few days, the children of Israel had to stand on the edge of the Jordan River, and it wasn't the right time yet for them to cross over. But then in verse 3 of chapter 4, we read these words, follow the ark, for you have never been this way before. Follow the ark, for you have never been this way before. It's a new day. They are going to make a new step. And it wasn't about geography. It was about God's purpose for them. Maybe they'd gotten a little comfortable in the desert. Maybe they got a little used to the routine, to the cadence of what they were knowing. And God was saying, wait, I am about to do something very mighty. You've never been this way before. It's going to be me that will lead you across the way. The second passage we read is in the New Testament, and it's equally important. It's a little bit more about geography, but not totally. Something big is about to happen as Paul and a group of his colleagues are going to cross over a body of water from Troas into the town of Neapolis in modern-day Greece. And I'm going to explain this one by showing you this picture. Outside of the monastery of St. Nicholas on the shores of the Aegean Sea in Greece is this mosaic. And it actually tells the story that we just have read about in Acts chapter 16. This beautiful mosaic depicts the story about what Paul experienced that night. Paul, in his sleep, has a vision. You see it in the picture. Apparently, for weeks, he and a group of other apostles had been trying to follow God's lead, and every place that they wanted to visit, things kind of didn't go the way they had hoped. Their plans were thwarted, and we're not sure why, but the doors were being shut for them. And at night, in his sleep, Paul has a vision, and it was probably a dream or some kind of apparition, but a stranger appears to him who's sent by God. You see it in the aura of that character with the red cape. This vision, like an epiphany, and Paul and the apostles were in Troas at the time, and as I said, they've kind of reached the end of the line in Asia Minor. They can't go any further in the places of familiarity for them. And this man of Macedonia stands before them in Paul's vision, and he begs with them, come over to Macedonia and help us. Come over to Macedonia. And as the mosaic depicts, Paul gets up. You notice he doesn't even change his clothes. He gets up, doesn't change his clothes, grabs his Bible, and he crosses over into Macedonia. Luke writes these words, after Paul had the vision, we got up, ready at once to leave for Macedonia, convinced that God has called us there to preach the gospel to them. Again, it's a crossing over. But what the mosaic doesn't depict is actually really clear in the biblical text. Paul and his colleagues respond immediately. This is the very first time in the book of Acts that Luke, the writer, uses the pronoun we. Up until that point, it's always been they or he did something. It was always about Paul and his colleagues. But now Luke says, I'm fully on board with this new mission. I am ready to go. We got up and went and we crossed over. And this crossing over became the very first time, the very first mission, when the gospel went from Asia to Europe. A whole new people to reach, a whole new day in the approach to mission. They were leaving the place of familiarity for them, and they were going into a new land. This is mission. This is learning to cross over. Sometimes it's just crossing over the street. Sometimes it's just crossing over the hallway in our school. Sometimes it's just crossing over the threshold of our apartment building and going and meeting someone who's different than us. As Brampton Chinese Baptist Church faces a few of its crossings over, I think there's a couple of stepping stones that we would do well to pay attention to. Some stones that we can step on to make the crossing over a little easier. The first one is that crossing over compels us to think differently about God in the world. Why did the people of Israel have to stay put on the banks of the Jordan for 3 days after having wandered for 40 days? I think God is trying to say that this Abar moment, this crossing over, wasn't about them, it was about Him. God would fulfill His purpose, and God would direct them. You know, the people of Israel were called the Hebrews. And the word Hebrew comes from the same root word as Abar, crossing over. Their whole identity is formed as a people who were willing to cross over. God is saying to them, if I'm going to be your God and you're going to be my people, you will need to think differently about me in the world. For many years, our Canadian Baptist family was confident that God could take care of missions over there, while at the same time we were losing significant ground here in Canada. But God is saying to us that He has a message, and He has the power to save our Hindu neighbors, our Muslim neighbors. God can use us to reach our own neighborhood right here around us. And this is part of God's mission in the world. God is waiting, I believe, to surprise us with something very significant. The second stepping stone as we cross over. If the first one, by the way, is about thinking about God differently, I think the second one is about thinking about the other differently. After Paul and his company arrive in Macedonia, they went and they found a quiet place to pray. And after that, they struck up a conversation with a woman named Lydia. Now that was in and of itself a crossing over, because Jewish men did not speak to Gentile women at the time. But Lydia says, if you believe me, if you believe that I am a follower of God, as you are followers of God, then come and stay at my house. And this is really how Paul and Luke and Silas and the others began to think about the other differently. Can we accept that God is at work in the lives of other people? So my question to you is, who are the Lydia around you? Who are the Lydia in your community? And you're going to have to learn to think of them differently. Those people that are kind of out of the box, the people that aren't like us. Is it a Syrian refugee family? Is it a transgender person? Is it a former felon? Is it the guy down the road who has a gambling addiction? And are we going to have to see somehow that God is at work in their lives and allow that to transform us? The third stepping stone is evident in these passages. It's not easy to stand on the threshold of something and wait, is it? We either like to back up or to move ahead. We don't like to just kind of be in limbo there. But in both of these passages, both for the children of Israel in the Old Testament and for Paul and Luke and Silas and the others in the New Testament, they had to wait for God's yes or no. The type of mission that your church is involved in here in Brampton is a lot about experimentation. It's never quite knowing what the right thing is to do in a neighborhood. Maybe it is an ESL program that you're running, or maybe it is a clothing bank, but perhaps it's a tax service that you're going to offer for new Canadians, or something special and out of the box. I loved, by the way, your idea of the Halloween event here in your church. What a cool idea. What a way to cross over and to welcome others into your church at a unique and important time. Whatever the boundaries are around you, you'll have to learn to wait for God's yes or no. And that leads us to the fourth stepping stone. And the fourth one is that there is rarely any crossing over without opposition. In the book of Joshua, as in the book of Acts, These stories are all about opposition that they encounter once they get into that new place. The story of the book of Acts is really significant because after they leave Lydia's house, the next four events that Paul and the apostles encounter are all about opposition. In Philippi, they get beaten up. In Thessalonica, there's a Jewish riot and a mob forms and they're chased out of town. In Berea, another riot breaks out and the apostles have to get smuggled away at night. And finally, they run all the way to Athens, and there in the Agora, there's this big public debate. And I'm sure that Paul and the others must have just been standing there thinking, hold it, God, why again did you send us here? Crossing over often implies some type of opposition. If you think that those Abar moments, those crossings over, aren't hard enough in and of themselves, I think that you have to be prepared. God has something that's challenging. The final crossing over is that, and again we see it in both of these passages, the act of mission as crossing over, whether it's crossing over an ocean or crossing over a street or a hallway in your apartment building, is that it's a collective act of obedience. It's Joshua and the high priest and the soldiers and all of the people of God. It's Paul and Silas and Luke and all of the brothers and sisters that cross over. When God calls Brampton Chinese Baptist Church to cross over, whether it's in partnering with the global church in Myanmar or in Lebanon, or if it's right here in Brampton, it is a collective act of obedience. Beware that mission is not viewed as the work of a committee. It is the work of the entire church. I end with this. A few years ago, I was in South Africa and I saw this picture on the, let's see, on the left-hand side of the slide. And I loved the saying so much, I sort of made it my motto. It's a Zulu hymn from about 100 years ago. The Zulus were the tribe in South Africa. And they sang this song, "Behold, the Zulus are dancing for the Eternal One. Shift a little, Jehovah is coming. Shift a little, Jehovah is coming." Crossing over, a bar, shifting a little. They all have that one thing in common, don't they? And that is you can't just sit there. You can't just sit there. You have to get up and you have to be ready to move. The preeminent act of that movement was when Jesus Christ himself gave up all of his rights, and in his incarnation, in his life, and his sacrificial death, and his resurrection, he emptied himself, shifted a little. He showed us the way. We at CBM like to say, start local, glow. I got to say that again. We at CBM like to say, start local, go global. And this is so true in our churches. Although fewer and fewer are actually going global, probably because they aren't actually starting local. Because they're not being the type of people that God has called them to be locally. What is shifting a little? What is crossing over going to look like here at Brampton Chinese Baptist Church? It's been a long time since I moved away from Brampton. I don't think I know what it's going to look like for you. I think that you're going to have to judge that. But I do know that every single one of us, whether you're a leader or a newcomer to this church, you are called to be someone different in your world. It might be as simple as seeing your workplace differently. Seeing how God can be at work in your school or in your work. It might be people on the floor of your apartment building or at the playground where you take your grandchildren, or the love and the generosity you show new immigrants in your neighborhood. Are you ready? Do you feel like the children of Israel, the Jewish people kind of standing there on the banks of the Jordan, lined up, ready to move, ready for God to give you the green light? Are you ready today? I'm going to close in the words of one of my favorite preachers, Fleming Rutledge. Do not go out from this place with furrowed brow, worrying about what you're supposed to do for God. That would not be good news. He will show you what he has for you. I would add, he will show you where to cross over. He will show you what he has for you. He has already prepared good works for you to walk, and he has chosen you. You are his witnesses. That's the way the good news spreads. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.